Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome back to the Schmozone podcast, episode number 86. I'm Dave Schmolzen, a.k.a. The Schmo. My co-host is...
Helen Yee with Helen Yee Sports.
And our guest today, long overdue, Paulie Malignaggi, a little jet-lagged over here, flying in from Florida, right?
Yeah, Florida. Got in early this morning, but we're making it happen. We're making it happen. Long overdue on the show.
That's right, man. And now, Paulie Malignaggi, two-time boxing champion right over here. We really appreciate you. Some of our favorite interviews, right, Helen?
Yeah, we were just talking about, remember that one time in New York, we were eating pizza?
L&B, Spumoni Gardens.
Yes.
The best.
Amazing pizza. But so busy.
It's world famous.
It L&B. Is world
famous. L&B, Spumoni Gardens.
I know.
But Bent Center has a lot of famous pizza. We have Lenny's Pizza from the movie Saturday Night Fever. It's still there as well, okay. Lenny's Pizza. And so New York has well-known pizza spots, the Farrah's, and all apologies to everybody else. Grimaldi, we have Lucali, we have a bunch of stuff. We have a bunch of crispy pizza. I'm losing. I don't want to offend anyone. I forgot, but we got too many good pizza spots in New York.
I could tell you're hungry, but hey, if you want pizza here in Vegas, though, there's the Helen Yee Pizza.
Is there?
Where? Yeah, at Naked City Pizza. Shout out to Naked City Pizza.
Naked. Is it Helen Yee slice, and what's on it?
Yeah, it's, don't hate me, okay?
Wait, don't tell me it's pineapple. Don't do it.
Oh, hell
don't
no, do it. No,
I can never do pineapple on a pizza.
All right. It's French fries.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a heart attack.
It's a heart attack. It is. Exactly.
French fries.
French fries, sausage, pepperoni.
It is a heart attack. Yeah. It does sound good, though. Yo, I've seen, in Sicily, they're starting to get creative with these slices, too. I've seen French fries on pizza in Sicily, too.
It's good.
She's a trendsetter.
It's like two meals in one.
It really, you don't even have to have the fries on the side. Just get it right direct.
Exactly.
But full meal.
Yes, full meal and full boxing weekend.
And the heart attack for dessert. Who's go?
You're right. Can't argue with that.
No.
For sure. So you're in town. We ran into you at the official weigh-ins for Devin Haney, JoJo Diaz. I look over my shoulder. Helen pointed you out.
I was like, Paulie. And David's like, where? And I'm like, fresh, he's from the right airport. There. Oh, that's when you...
No, we went to breakfast first, and then we came out right to the weigh-in.
Okay. Pizza for breakfast?
No. Had an omelet.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Then I did a lot of talking, a lot of coffee. It woke me up. And we just went on a ride to the weigh-in.
Yeah. So what'd you think? Because didn't Montana Love bring a dog
to the weigh-in?
Yeah.
That was pretty
interesting.
I've never seen that before.
A little different. I'll call it a little different. But Montana can fight, so I can't knock anything else he's going to do. Because, you know what? I've seen him fight. I was very impressed with his win over Ivan Baranchuk, his last fight he had. So, I guess the dog is, speaking of trend setting, maybe he's setting the new trend too, you know?
That's right. I don't know if this podcast is going to be released before or after the Haney-JoJo Diaz fight, but I'm looking at Devin Haney. He's got his own hype, man. It reminds you of the Ali days too, the guy suited up.
Run DMC.
He makes the schmo look underdressed at these events.
Yeah. He's like a modern-day Bondini Brown, a little bit of a hype man type of image. But you know what? Haney's very promotable. You know, he's done a good job of getting his name out there. He's done a good job of, getting people to talk about him. He's been doing nothing but winning. So I guess you add the little theatrics as well. You know, you can never go wrong when you keep people talking. So one way or the other, it can't be a bad thing.
And the champion, George Kambosos Jr., he's here. Mm-hmm. Did you run into him today?
Yeah. We spoke to him as well with my guys at BlueMoonFight.tv. George is, doing his little victory tour now, you know, and he's obviously in town to possibly assess the winner and, you know, maybe take on the winner. I think, you know, he surprised a lot of people. He shocked a lot of people, but a well-earned win. I hope that his team is capable of getting him a home defense with, you know, he's got the undisputed title. He deserves it. Of course, that is dependent on this variant closings and whatnot, because I, you know, it's, that could also be an issue. But that could be an issue in general. You know, I don't necessarily think that can be an issue just in the States, because I'm hearing that the Golovkin-Ryoto Murata fight might be canceled in Japan.
Yeah,
so
I heard that.
So,
yeah.
So I don't know. But I do think Kambosos needs would be well deserving of a home country defense after a win like that. Of course, you know, I think the way that Australia sounds today, you know, I don't know if this is politically incorrect, but it's, you might as well go to jail. If it being in Australia is like being in Alcatraz right now, from what I hear.
It's tough. I don't see how they can make that happen over there.
Yeah, it would be a shame, but we'll see.
But on paper, though, obviously, because this podcast might not come out till after the results of the Haney Diaz and maybe even the Gervonta Davis against
which
Cruz.
Which you'll be there, too, on Sunday.
Yep.
Like, on paper, who's the most deserving lightweight, or do you think these fights this weekend, one of the winners here plays a part
in that? I don't know if there's a more deserving lightweight, but I think that Gervonta would probably get the most people talking. If he's able to get by Cruz. Cruz is a dynamic, explosive fighter himself, so I think that's going to be a short, explosive fight one way or the other. Obviously, you favor Gervonta, but, you know, Gervonta doesn't shy away from a good exchange as well, so Cruz also can punch a little bit, and he's pretty explosive. So let's say Gervonta wins, for argument's sake. I think he's probably the most, the one that gets people talking the most. He's more action fighter than Haney. Haney's a good fighter, you know, and Haney's very capable of beating Kambosos. I'm not saying he's not. Not that he's more deserving or anything, but or less deserving or anything. But I think Gervonta sells more. He's kind of a little bit higher on the pedestal. And so if Gervonta wins, let's say Haney and Gervonta win, the two favorites for the weekend. Let's say that happens. I'd like to see Gervonta get the shot at Kambosos first, if Gervonta can make lightweight, because I don't know what he's doing in terms of weight classes anymore. Haney's very capable as well. We'll see. Jojo Diaz is an ex-Olympian, so we can't underrate him as well. I don't know. You know, Kambosos has got a lot of options once he's got that win. You know, it was a win that nobody was expecting. And I think once he's got it now, you know, I think he's realizing the amount of attention he's getting. And everybody's going to be calling him out. So he's going to have no shortage of opposition options, and especially in a weight class that has a lot of people talking right now.
Well, were you surprised that he won?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I rated Teofimo Lopez. I mean, I still rate him. I just think, you know, got to give Kambosos credit. But I also think that Lopez, at least from a psychological point of view, didn't come the same way he came with Lomachenko. You know, with Lomachenko, he understood the importance of setting up the power and really boxed very well and, you know, had a real mentality of a hungry fighter who knew he was up against a very difficult opponent. I felt like he just came into the fight with Kambosos like, I'm just going to take this guy out. I can do it when I want to. And it was almost lack of respect, really. You know, especially the way he came out in the first round. It was just throwing all that kinds of power without even setting it up. I don't know what he thought he was going to go into, but, you know, it didn't work out that way. And Kambosos, who is a capable top-level fighter, took advantage naturally. You know, this at this level, this is what's going to happen to you. So, I was definitely surprised at the outcome, and that's not a disrespect to Kambosos, who's a very good fighter, but I rated Lopez as the best guy in the weight class, so for me, I was surprised.
A couple months ago, he was sitting in that very seat. Him and his father were in this podcast. I mean, it was on the date, the podcast, when they were supposed to originally be fighting before everything got postponed. Not originally fighting, but the last fight. I think the fight got rebooked 8 different times. He had a lot on his shoulders, and it felt like there was so much, the weight of the world was on him, and it was completely different, because when he's fighting the Lomachenko fight, it's like he's fighting with house money. He's got momentum. He's got nothing to lose. He's going up against Lomachenko, the pound-for-pound best, and then he gets the win, and it feels like he's been dealing with so much stuff between the purse bid and the issues with Top Rank, and then going with Triller, and then leaving Triller, and then ending up going on to Zone. It just seemed like he had so much baggage outside of the fight that was weighing in on him during the fight.
And sometimes the challenges outside the ring are just as important and just as difficult to deal with as the ones inside the ring. You know, people don't always understand that, don't always realize that. But you know, it, part of being a champion is dealing with that, dealing with, you know, this newfound fame, dealing with the pitfalls that come with the newfound fame and the business part of the sport and whatnot. So, you know, it's part of the game, man. You know, you still have to come prepared, especially when you are at that position. You are the guy everybody's gunning for. When you have to defend that, you know, you have to defend your position and you have to prepare adequately. Not to say that he didn't, but Kambosos was the more ready fighter, and that's why he's the undisputed lightweight champion of the world right now.
Yesterday, I interviewed George, and he told me he beat the man who beat the man in reference to Lomachenko. So if you're a Lomachenko, what do you need to do to kind of get in those talks for that title shot?
You know, at this point, it's a political game. Lomachenko's the top rank, and I don't know which direction Kambosos is going to go. I've been with DeBell Entertainment, who has Kambosos. They don't really have dates, so, you know, I think it's up in the air. But I think Eddie Hearn has kind of lured in the opportunity to get Kambosos to fight the winner of Haney and Diaz. So the way it looks this week, or maybe just it's just the fact that Kambosos is here, it looks like he's angling towards that. But we'll see. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's up in the air and it's up for discussion. DeBell Entertainment has no contract with any television, so Kambosos could go one way or the other. So it's going to depend really on the bidding.
It took us a little bit to have a podcast because we were on the road for Thanksgiving. We were just in Dallas for Triad
and
Combat.
Happy belated birthday
as well.
Happy
belated birthday.
Thank you. I'm getting old. I don't celebrate anymore.
I can't blame you. The older you get, the less you want to celebrate.
The less exciting it is.
I was so excited, though, because part of the, you know, there's a Metallica concert. You got this first of its kind MMA versus boxing. Let's get into that.
Triad
Combat. But I caught Errol Spence, and we were at the fight with Terrence Bud Crawford and Sean Porter, and I was
standing. At the Triad fight?
He was there a week later. He was at the Triad fight. And he was also in Vegas the week before for the Bud Crawford and Sean Porter fight. He walked out, didn't speak to anybody, the immediate aftermath of that. So I caught him, and I was able to get a couple questions in on him, and I was asking him, hey, because every time I feel like you bring up Bud Crawford's name, kind of like shies away and kind of leaves us that, but I asked him what his thoughts are that he pretty much left Top Rank on the spot, standing on stage or sitting on stage right next to Bob Arum. He says, hey, go get that money, and, you know, kind of left right there and didn't really much react to that, and kind of felt like Sean Porter had checked out before he even stepped in the ring that night. He kind of felt the retirement was already on the horizon. That's the sense I got from that interview.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to take it. You know, I thought Porter fought, you know, relatively hungry. I thought he was in attack mode. You know, Crawford was a better fighter. I don't really have a lot of criticism for Porter. You know, I thought he was, you know, he went for it. He just, you know, Crawford was a better fighter. It's difficult to assess Crawford and Spence right now because Spence is overcoming the retina surgery and whatnot. You don't know how he's going to come back from that. There's a lot of discussions, but not a lot of answers, you know? So I don't know how to take that. I don't even know if the fight's as exciting as it was maybe a year or two ago. That's the problem with boxing, man. They don't make these fights. And, you know, now I am not as excited about it anymore as I was before. You know, not, I mean, I'd watch it, but, I mean, I don't think it's as talked about as it was before.
Well, Sean Porter's dad, Kenny, got a bit of criticism after the fight for just kind of what he said. What do you make of his comments?
You know, I think that's a discussion they had to have in-house, and I'm sure they had that before and after. I give them credit for not airing out their dirty laundry. I think you're very tempted to air out your dirty laundry in that situation. It seemed like they were on the verge of it, but then they kept it in house. You know, it's father-son relationships can be beautiful, but they can also be complicated in boxing. I wouldn't know, but I mean, that's what I've observed in the various father-son relationships I've seen in my life in boxing. I don't really have a comment on it. I think that, you know, the thing that impressed me the most was that they were able to keep it in house. I'm sure there were some disagreements there, and I'm sure they needed to be assessed, and I'm sure they did assess them. But the fact they were able to keep that dirty laundry in house, to me, I give them a lot of credit, because the temptation to go one way or the other, you're being tempted by media interviews, you're being tempted by social media, you're being tempted by rumors, you're being tempted by message boards. People want answers. People want to hear it from one way or the other. And instead, Sean just kind of bowed out and said, you know what? I don't want to deal with this. You know, it's possible that Sean realizes there is a big disagreement with his father. And if he's going to go forward fighting, it may have to be without his father. And he doesn't want to do that. You know, it's possible. You know, that's kind of how I took it. And if that's the case, that's a lot of respect to Sean, because, you know, it's you don't always see that. I mean, that they have a good bond there, you know, despite the disagreements. Maybe something that they still might be disagreeing about right now, but I give them credit and give them respect for not airing out that dirty laundry.
Did you see them there today at the weigh-ins?
I saw them. I spoke to both of them separately, and I kind of assessed them. But, you know, they're grown men. It's like, you know, the father-son relationship goes from the father to the boy son. Now it's man to man, you know? And so, you know, this grown men can disagree and still love each other. And I think that's kind of where they're at, you know? And it's possible that Sean just would rather just bow out instead of going forward in a situation where he disagrees heavily with his father. But at the same time, he'd rather not also go forward with somebody else. So he said, I can't go this way. I can't go this way. I'd rather retire. And respect to him and credit to him, because he's not telling us that. So we don't know for sure if that's what it is, you know? Respect for him keeping the laundry in-house and the father too. And that's not easy to do.
Well, you were just talking about how Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence, that fight isn't as intriguing mm-hmm. as it was before. But if they were to fight now, who would you give the edge to?
I think Errol, coming off of surgery, wouldn't be a good idea to take on Crawford right now. You know, I used to give the edge to Errol, but I think right now I give the edge to Crawford. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see if it even plays out.
Who is the fight then for Crawford right now? Or what is the move? He's a free agent. Like, yeah. What makes sense?
I don't even know, man. Honestly, I really don't know. It's like you're kind of stuck. And that's the problem with all this weight class jumping. Like, people now have kind of got accustomed to it, where it's like, okay, if there's not a fight in your weight class that interests you, you have to go up in a different weight class. And that's complicated. It's not that easy to do that. So, you know, especially when a guy's already been a lightweight, you know, he's too many weight classes to jump if you force him to do that. So I don't know, man. I mean, there's a lot of welterweights, you know, but I don't know that there's one that you're like, oh my goodness, this is the fight, you know? Right now, Crawford is almost too good for his own good, that where, you know, people are going to be interested in seeing him fight, but they're not going to be super, super interested in the way that where it's like, oh, this is a real threat to beat him, even if he's against a world-class fighter. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing him against, you know, somebody like a Danny Garcia or whatnot, you know, name recognition, but it's just people are going to know Crawford would be the heavy favorite.
How long are you going to keep the beard?
I don't know, man. I'll try to trim it a little bit. I'm going with the gray, though. See, this is crazy.
What?
Man.
Well, you got
to get a
couple of grays here. It's getting bad. You know what's funny? People used to think I colored my beard when it was all black, like when my hair's so black, but I'm too lazy to ever do that. I was like, are you out of here? People were like, yeah, all right. I'm serious, but this is my real color. So now I'm getting a couple of grays. I'm not a color. Imagine like you color your beard. I mean, that thing grows constantly. How do you color? How does one go about that? You have to color like a bunch of times a week. Like, that's too much for me, man.
It's a lot of grooming. And I bring that up because today's podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. I missed No Shave Schmovember. Lawnmower 4.0. Really good razor, real clean right here. If you need a shave, if you need to do that, they got the ball wash. They got everything.
That's a nice one. Daily needs. It's the whole thing. Tell them to send me a package.
The whole thing. We'll get you a package. The weed whacker right there for the nose hairs. I mean, look at the crop preserver right there.
This is a full grooming kit.
A full grooming kit. They got everything for the bathroom, the essential needs to keep your balls happy. That's what it's all about.
This is what I need. Yes, this is what I need. Especially on the road all the time, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you skip the whole grooming part, you know?
100%.
Look at me. I'm coming off the plane. I'm still on my mess. I could have used one of these.
We got to
tell them to send me one.
20% off. Use the promo code SCHMO, manscaped.com. And we got to send one to Pauly Malignaggi.
Yes. I'm down for this.
Got to get that done. When you come to Vegas, what's the go-to move for you? You've been here enough times.
I don't know, man. I'm here so much more for work than anything else. It's just become like I've gotten so used to it that, you know, the go-to is usually start to work first. And then later in the week is, you know, when you have more fun, you know. Of course, this time I'm showing up late in the week already, so we're supposed to do some partying tonight, but I don't know, man.
Where?
I'm not. Zook, whatever this place in World Resorts Casino.
That's what Sean place. Just, my buddies and his girlfriend.
He's trying to go there.
Yeah, that's where they're at right now.
But, man, I need to sleep for first. Like, hey,
this city, you don't
banged
sleep.
Up. I'm banged up. I got in so early. Like, I'm banged up. Like, I got up at 5 a.m. East Coast time, which means that's 2 a.m. West Coast time.
Our time.
So we're going to go almost on 24 hours here. You know, I got to get a nap in before
How'd
I go
How did you not
tonight.
Sleep last night?
I mean, I went to sleep at like 1 o'clock, and then I had to get up at 5. So, which means 5 New York time, or Florida time, because I was in Florida, is 2 Vegas time. So technically, I'm in Vegas. So I've been up since 2 a.m. your time, you know?
Wow.
So,
but it's good to see you here more, because you were just here a few weeks ago.
Yeah, well, you know what it is. You guys have all the fights. What are we going to do? We got to come for the fights, right?
Well, the fights are also in Florida, too. I mean, not, but I mean, if
we're
MMA,
doing more,
we're
doing more fights in Florida. That's part of why Florida is getting more popularity.
We're going to be there December 18th, the Jake Paul-Tommy Fury fight.
Oh, it's in Florida, too?
Yeah, Tampa Bay.
And I'm working.
You're
the
working
17th?
Yeah.
BYB.
Where is that fight at?
Miami.
That's
James
in Florida,
Knight Center.
Too?
Yeah, look at that. Boom.
Wow. How far is the drive between Miami and Tampa?
Hours.
We're going to rent a car, and I think we're going to pull it off. We're going to do that. Yeah. I think Khabib's doing like a media thing for his Eagle fighting promotion.
When is that?
In Miami. I think it's around the 15th, December 15th.
Oh, man, so this is just like a crazy week then.
Yeah.
Yes.
You just got to do it.
We
100%. So I'll see you there. I'll see you there. It's a date. It's a date. We'll see you there.
We love the poly dates.
Let's do it. I'm there.
That's good.
And use a light BYB too. BYB is a lot of action, a lot of fun.
What about the day after? Jake Paul or Tommy Fury?
You know, for me, it's a 50-50 fight.
Me too.
Everybody makes like Jake's fighting a boxer. Why? Because Tommy Fury had boxing matches. He's not. He's just as much of a boxer as Jake is. He's got the Fury name, but it's not like he had the amateur career and the pedigree that his family has. Tommy's a reality guy who went boxing. Jake is a reality guy who went boxing. It's not really a boxer versus a reality guy. It's two reality guys that decided to box. Just because the Fury name is involved doesn't mean he's actually a boxer. I thought he was a boxer. Don't get me wrong. They fooled me, too.
How did they fool you?
Because I thought he was got the Fury name. He's got the boxing pedigree like the rest of the Fury family, you know? But then I watched them fight. And I'm like,
which fight?
This guy's not a boxer.
On the
Anthony Taylor fight?
Yeah, the last fight.
Was that the only fight you watched of him?
Yeah.
But I
can tell when somebody's comfortable, like, you know, in their stance. I can tell when somebody has a lot of experience. I can tell when somebody's got a pedigree, you know, no matter what. I can see he just looked like a guy who hasn't been boxing in a long time. He looked like, you know, like Jake does. Jake looks like a guy who hasn't been boxing in a long time. So, I mean, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, this guy's not a boxer. And then you start hearing about Love Island or whatever he has. So I'm like, that makes sense. Good-looking guy, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, it's like, all right, he's a reality TV guy who's boxes. He just happens to be related to Fury.
Well, do you buy into the narrative? Because Anthony Taylor, he doesn't have, like, he's not a traditional boxer. He's an MMA fighter. And Tommy Fury, I've recently heard him say this. I don't remember where I heard him say this, but he said, look, he did this on purpose in the way that he knew that this was business. He didn't want to show off all of his skills. He knew he just had to go in there, get the win, and the bigger prize was to fight Jake Paul. That he's kind of duped him into thinking that he's not that great of a boxer. He didn't perform too well against Anthony Taylor. Anthony Taylor is a sparring partner of Jake Paul. Obviously, he's an MMA guy. He didn't look good against him. You're 100% right. But he purposely did certain things in that fight and didn't act a certain way because he thought the bigger prize would be Jake Paul. Do you believe that at all? Or do you think like he's just messing and he didn't just perform well at all?
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that, no. I can tell when somebody's good and they're taking it easy and when somebody doesn't know what they're doing. And Tommy is the latter, you know. But, you know, he's got Tyson, his brother, not helping him in camp and stuff like that. So I do think it's an extra weapon.
And his dad.
Yeah, I mean, I do think now with this training camp, the family has gotten involved, and I think that can only help. But to me, it's just as much of a help as Jake has every camp with BJ Flores training him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of the same thing. You know, mentally, from a psychological perspective, it's nice to have Tyson there. Supporting and helping him train. And I think he's going to, you know, come with a bit more motivation. But technically speaking, once the bell rings on fight night, your experience is really important because there's all those intangibles involved on fight night, the nerves and all that other stuff. And the lack of experience comes to the forefront once again. And what I'm saying with experience is, you know, your decision-making in key crucial spots. You know, they had us thinking Jake Paul had been – was sparring with these championship fighters, and so he was becoming like what he was, you know. So you start to create an image of yourself. Then when the heat is on fight night, Jake Paul didn't look that good at all. You know what I'm saying? He won the fight, but he didn't look that good at all. So it's the same thing with Tommy. At the end of the day, you can have your brother helping you train. You can do all this stuff. Maybe you don't even raise your level in camp, but on fight night, when the pressure's on, if the fight gets tough and hard decisions are to be made in certain crucial spots, you know, key decisions, like something simple like, do you throw right hand here or do you step over? You know what I'm saying? Like something stupid like that, that may seem stupid, an experienced fighter kind of takes it in stride and understands how to do it. An inexperienced fighter makes the wrong move. You know what I'm saying? He steps in instead of stepping out, or clenches or fights and throws a punch instead of clenches. Or it's little things that I can tell as a fighter with experience, how a fighter with experience would react and wouldn't react. And on fight night, they're both going to be in the same boat, really. You know, I they're both reality guys who are boxing. So it's a 50-50 fight.
So how would you classify events like that? Because it's like, so you said there are like reality guys who box, and then what, Frank Gore is also on that card?
Yeah, you got Frank Gore against Darren Williams.
The NFL running back.
Yeah. Future NFL Hall of Famer.
I saw Frank Gore at the Bubu Andre versus Liam Williams fight.
Did
so
you talk
funny.
To him?
You know, I didn't even, like, I was walking out, and he's like, yo, Paulie, what's up, bro, Frank Gore? And I'm like, oh, man, what's going on? You know, like, I was random. Like, we were, like, walking out of the Hard Rock at the same time. So we, you know, spoke, like, 2 seconds, you know. Like, he's like, what do you think? But, he, you know, I was kind of on my way out, you know. So, like, I didn't get a chance to really have a good conversation with him. I didn't even know he was training for a fight.
Fighting former NBA All-Star Darren Williams. You got
Deron
Williams
from the Nets.
Yeah.
Yes. Pro Bowler versus All-Star.
And Deron was a big boxing fan. I remember Deron when he was at the Nets. He was big with the Brooklyn boxing at Barclays Center and whatnot. But that's another one. I had no clue he was actually boxing.
So he's training. So shout out to Saif Sahood, Fortis MMA. He's a part owner. Him and Saif are in business together.
Crazy.
Been training there in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
This is heavy because Deron's from Dallas, right?
Yeah.
This is heavy.
Well, he played a lot in Dallas, too.
Yeah,
he played with Dirk
Nowitzki. And then he went to Cleveland, right?
At the end of the career, he's in Cleveland,
This is heavy. This is a lot to take in right now. Especially that I'm like jet lag, too.
Let him digest it.
This is like...
I can't wait to interview these guys.
Yeah, this is wild. And how are they taking it? Are they talking trash?
Not really. It's more respectful.
Yeah.
And, you know, Deron. Did I say Darren? You're right.
Yeah,
I think
it is Deron. Yeah.
He's got inches on him.
Yeah,
like
Deron's taller. Yeah.
It's like 6'3", 6'4".
I've seen
Frank's
both of them
like
now,
because
I saw Frank when I was leaving the Hard Rock, and I seen Deron several times when I was in Brooklyn. Deron's tall.
See, I thought it was weird when I saw Frank Gore in Cleveland at the Jake Paul Tyron Woodley fight. I'm like, what is Frank Gore doing here? And then I knew, he wants to get into boxing.
This is just like a separate league being created here.
That's what I wanted to ask you. What would you
MVP
classify
MVP promotions.
It?
We'll call it VIP boxing. And then just boxing, I guess, you know.
Well, Jake Paul calls it Most Valuable Promotions. That's his promotion company.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so. I guess you can call it Most Valuable. I mean, it's like the VIPs, you know, because they're not technically boxers. You're not going to see the savvy decision-making when those guys are fighting inside the ring, you know, because there's savvy, you know, a veteran fighter knows how to make savvy decisions in key crucial spots that – I know probably the naked eye, the layman may not catch, but I catch right away. You know, that's why I could tell you that, you know, Tommy, I saw him fight and I was like, this guy's not a boxer. You know, I can tell that right away. You're going to see that no matter how many lessons you've had in boxing, if you start boxing very late, especially, you know, that late as these guys, it's pretty much going to be VIP boxing, you know, and that doesn't mean it's not going to be fun. But it's going to be limited. Sometimes limited makes it more fun.
But the hope for all this, and if you're Eddie Hearn, the guy who took a chance in bringing YouTube boxing to this, you're bringing a whole new audience of people that
wouldn't be tuning
in. Oh,
you're definitely bringing
in
a new audience.
I just hope it sticks for the sport of boxing.
I saw, for the Jake Paul fight versus Woodley card, I saw a filled arena for the undercard, which in boxing is rare. And to go demographic wise, I hadn't seen so many white people at a crowd in a boxing match in a long time. You know, like you're bringing a demographic that kind of had left your sport for MMA, for various reasons, and I think it's crucial that you bring them back because they're a big demographic, and I thought I was very impressed by that with Jake being able to do that.
And it brought to the forefront a guy like Montana Love, who's now signed with Matchroom Boxing, is now the co headline.
Yeah, that kid can fight. That kid can fight. I was very impressive. I was very impressed with the way he handled Baranchuk. You know, that was a nice step up for him and very, very impressive performance. And he's earned the right to, you know, bring his French bulldog to the weigh-in today. That was interesting, too.
David's a dog person.
Nice.
Yeah, my parents like getting rescue dogs, so I just love dogs.
I like animals. I'm just never home to take care of them, but I like everybody else's pets.
That's why we don't have a pet,
too. Have you ever
too.
Had a pet?
No, I had a Me turtle neither. When I was a kid, but it didn't, you know, I didn't do a good job with it, so I just kind of released it back in the wild.
Yeah, I used to have fish, but they jump out of the tank and then die.
Yeah, they do suicide missions.
Fish? Do you count fish as a pet?
I mean, you got to clean the tank.
That's a responsibility.
Yeah, that's a responsibility in the tank. It's funny. Yeah. I got a funny story about fish. My grandfather, who's, you know, he's born in 1937. He's a Sicilian immigrant. He's kind of, you know, a little loopy. So, and he's very, very, you know, those kind of old school, you know, he's born like during the war, you know. So those kind of people, you know, those kind of immigrants are a little bit loopy, you know. So he's a character. He's always been a character. And he got a gift, a fish tank full of fish, right? The problem was some of them were fighter fish. So you can't put those together with each other. So he got all excited about this fish tank. It's beautiful. It's this and that. First night he had it. Wakes up in the morning for work. He was still like in his 50s. One of them's floating dead. He's like, man, one of them's dead. He takes another thing. The next morning, another one's dead. There was about six of them. Now there's four. Now the second morning, he's like, all right, one of these fish thinks he's a gangster. He's like, he keeps complaining, like, I'm going to find out who thinks he's a gangster. Every morning, he's waking up and find another one dead. Got to the point where there was two left. The last remaining fish is dead now. The last remaining fish is in there. My grandfather, old school Sicilian, takes the wooden spoon and tries to beat the fish with the wooden spoon. And the fish is going back and forth. And my grandmother's yelling. I'm like, you're making a mess with the splash of water. And he's like, this fish takes a gangster in my house. I'm going to get... Meantime, the fish is going, shoo, shoo, shoo. You had to be there to see it. But that was the fish story in my house. Needless to say, my grandfather ejected him from the house. He gave away the tank with the fish. He didn't want him in the house.
Oh, the fish survived.
The one surviving fish. Because I guess he blamed all the other deaths on that one. Who knows if the other ones maybe ganged up on the other. But since there was one left, he got the blame for all the other dead fish. And he was ejected or evicted. So that was the tank story. Lasted about a week in that house.
Well, at least you didn't have to pay rent, right?
No, that's it. Nothing. But, you know, Sicilians, the wooden spoon is something you fear. So he wanted to make the fish fear the wooden spoon, too. So that's the pet story in my house. But I do like animals. I just, you know, I'm never around to actually take care of them. So I like everybody else's pets instead. I like cats, too. Cats are funny.
You like cats?
Yeah, I like all animals.
But I feel like I like cats. Hilarious. They always try to scratch me.
Nah, you got to put them in their place, you know. But they're hilarious, though, because I like the mentality. Like, they think you just live among them. Like, pets know they're subversive to you. Cats just feel like you're just in the kingdom with them, you know. They're just kind of just there, you know. So they're funny. But they're so athletic. I love it. Like, I love messing with cats. Like, my grandmother had cats when I was a kid. So, I would make, like, a little aluminum foil ball and throw it on the floor. And they would just fly, man. Bang, 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 bang. And just so athletic. It was such reflexes. It always made me laugh. You know, they get alert to anything that moves. They'll just be sitting there. You know, anything that moves, like, you know, and that's it. They gotta catch it. You know, so I don't know. Dogs are cute. I like the genuineness of animals. I'm an animal person. I just don't have the, you know, stay at home time to take care of them.
David loves watching animals eat each other. Like, he watches that on Instagram.
I feel bad when I do that. Yeah, I feel bad. You know what I do? I do like the cool, like, predator fights. I don't like to watch, like, a deer get hunted or, like, a deer drinking in
the
game.
He loves that, yeah.
I don't like that because I feel like...
It. I just can't look away.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Some people like train wrecks. I it's not a fair fight. But, like, when I see, like, a python and an alligator, I was good. Recently, you know what I saw that I didn't even know?
What?
Panthers, was it a panther? No, leopards. Leopards eat alligators. I didn't even know. Leopards attack alligators.
Yeah.
A leopard can swim 1 mile. I didn't even know this.
Yeah. I didn't know
and
anything.
I saw a video. A leopard
it was close
was in
to
the,
shore. It was close
yeah,
to shore.
He was swimming, and then he started fighting this alligator. Yo, he killed the alligator. I'm sure sometimes the leopard must lose. I mean, it can't be that the leopard beats the alligator every time. You ever think like alligators like dinosaurs? Think about it. Alligators like dinosaurs
they
that
are.
Survived.
They are the oldest living dinosaurs. Yeah. Hey, 100%.
They're the dinosaurs that survived somehow. You know, but it's crazy. But in speaking of alligators and pythons, like in Florida, there's a big problem with the Everglades because people release too many pythons into the wild, and now they've become the dominant predator over there.
It's
a big battle.
But I watch hippopotamus. They're the kingdom. They destroy alligators and crocodiles.
We need some hippos in Florida to start chopping down the pythons too. Who would win, a python or a hippo? I've never seen that. You know what? You're going to make me YouTube that now.
But you know what's so rewarding? Sometimes you catch the underdogs winning too. Like there's a video out there, Battle of the Kruger, where, oh my gosh.
And what happened?
Oh my gosh.
Who wins?
So there is this... What is it called? Like a wildebeest.
Oh.
It was a tug of war game between lions and crocodiles where it was being tugged from both sides. And then the herd of wildebeest came back.
And got the free?
And they got them free.
Oh, man.
It's like a 7-minute video. That's what got me hooked.
Why didn't you show me that one?
That was I watched that when I was
like
in college.
I kind of like when they live, you know?
Yeah.
Yo, one time
Battle
I saw...
Battle of the Kruger, YouTube
I saw one recently with the hyenas attacked the lioness.
Yeah.
And you saw that one?
I did.
And the lion, you saw that? And they were about to wreck her. And then the other lionesses came and just started cleaning house. Bang, 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 bang.
Lions and hyenas are like the oldest rivalries in that animal
kingdom.
They
hunt the same thing, and sometimes they hunt each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy because the hyenas are such huge packs.
Yeah,
it's
the
like
hyenas,
the Lion King.
Strength
in
numbers.
They go back to Lion King.
Yeah,
strength in numbers. They go back to Lion King.
They do. They knew what they were doing when they made that movie. I might have butchered the animal. I think it was a wildebeest or something. It wasn't an elephant.
It was one of those that's not supposed to win, though.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to win. But that's what it was.
What about the birds? You ever see the birds? Like sometimes, yo, in Florida the other day, I saw a hawk flying and he had a fish in his claw. He was flying with a fish on him. I'm like, yo, it's nuts.
Wow.
And then,
were
like,
you at the beach?
No, he was in the air. I was on the highway. He must have caught it from the beach, and he was flying, taking it back to the nest.
That's kind
of
cool.
He was flying with the fish on his hook. I'm like, yo. And another time, I saw a crab. You guys been to Fort Lauderdale, Los Olas Boulevard? It's like a strip of bars and restaurants, right?
Yeah, we met you. We've interviewed you.
Oh, yeah.
Beach side. So it's not that close to the beach. I mean, you definitely wouldn't think a crab was going to be on the street. I saw a crab, like, going
on the street.
It must have got dropped by a bird. A bird must have caught that guy, and then he got dropped. And the poor bat. Can I curse you? No.
Yeah, 100%.
But poor bastard probably, you know, he got stuck on Las Olas board. He just walking, just crawling. And I'm like, this poor guy. So I went to a restaurant to get a cup. I wanted to put him in a cup and bring him to the beach. I came back here. I couldn't find him. Because, you know, I felt bad for him. Man, he's going to dry up over there. This hot sun over there. He needs water.
I felt bad for him. Birds are fucking ruthless, though. I've seen bird-on-bird action where they're just putting them, pecking on them.
I saw, you know what I did? I saw that at the beach. I saw that at the beach again with a crab. This bird was like trying to. He was like busting up. He was like pecking at a crab. He was pecking at a crab, and he finally like he caught him. He was like he had this big beak and finally broke him. He broke the crab in two. I felt bad.
Oh my gosh, he broke the crab
and then they eat it. You know.
And one other species that they bring up to, which saddens me, it's polar bears. They're starving. So you know what they do when they run out of seals or anything?
They eat each other.
Oh, they eat the cubs.
Cannibal.
Cannibalism.
That's like alligators. Alligator. You ever heard the crocodile tears? You eat the babies and the mother cries. Yeah.
Sad world. Yeah.
Sad. Wait, isn't Florida where Tiger King was filmed? Was that Florida?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I don't know. I never watched Tiger King. Everybody talks about this.
Wow, you're probably one of the
actually,
few who have.
So I will break the little bit of news here. You got to watch it. The schmo might be interviewing
Tiger King.
Oh, he's in jail.
Yeah,
is
Joe
he?
Exotic.
So
yeah.
I missed everything then.
Yeah.
I missed the show.
Well,
the guy's in jail?
Well.
Carol Baskin.
Carol Baskin. I might be interviewing Carol Baskin.
She's on Tiger King?
That was her husband, yeah.
Oh, wait, so no, gonna... Joe wasn't her husband.
So, oh, that was her rival. That
yeah,
her rival.
Her rival.
It's been a while.
Is it like, is it like,
that was not her husband. Is it? Her husband said.
Oh. So, but she's on the show.
She's on the show.
Yeah, and
but she's the rival, yeah.
So that's big for you because you're into all the animals too. So
yeah,
you have a lot of
questions. Well, she's one with the lions or the tigers.
Are you guys old enough to remember the Crocodile Hunter?
I've heard of it. I think I was really young.
He was big on animals. Like this guy was like nuts. Like he really hunted them. He would just like he loved animals. He would like get next to the alligator somehow.
Steve Irwin?
Put his head in there, like in the alligator head. Like,
no, I think that's someone else.
I know Steve Irwin. Steve Irwin.
Are you talking about Steve?
Yeah.
Irwin?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
you're
yeah, yeah. Steve Irwin.
Of course.
Yeah.
He died in the stingray. The stingray stabbed him. I heard his daughter is now doing what he did.
She is.
She was so cute when he passed away. I was like, oh, this boy. Now I heard she's doing what he was doing before. But I don't see her. I don't see the crocodile huntress. I don't see her. But I heard she's doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was a character too.
Yeah.
He was, and not to go against the PC thing, but I remember I rented this video called Bum Fights years ago.
Bum Fights.
It was like they pit like bums. They make like bums fight each other. They give them a couple of money and they make them attack each other or do funny things. And so one of these guys called himself the Bum Hunter, and he'd like go into like bum areas where they were sleeping and like tie them up. And then he'd like show you their teeth. I mean, he said he gave them money after. I don't know. But yeah, he'd be like, and he'd put on the Australian accent and he'd be like, this guy, look at the spaces on this one. And he'd see the bum like this. And he'd show you his teeth. I hate to say it. It was kind of funny. because the crocodile hunter was still alive at that time. And he was super popular at that time. So this guy was a knockoff of the crocodile hunter, called himself the bum hunter, gave himself a fake Australian accent. He'd go in with his boys and like tie up a random bum and then like look at the teeth on this one. Look, what a specimen this one. This one uses these teeth to annihilate his prey. And this meantime, the guy's got like one tooth and it's yellow. And he's like not even resisting. He's like,
Jeez,
it was bad. Yeah, I guess in 2021 it's bad, but in like 2004, it was kind of hilarious.
Is he still around?
The bum hunter. I don't know. I don't think they could probably make bum fights anymore because they probably, they probably wouldn't be allowed to.
They'd be canceled.
At that time, they'd give like two bums $50 each and they'd fight and they'd record it. They'd just fight each other. Or then they'd have like a segment called The Bum Hunter where he would do these things with bums. They have like different segments. It's kind of wild. But as usual, society kills all the fun. What are we going to do?
You watch some wild shows.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, TV was actually fun at one time, believe it or not.
Yeah, you know. And MTV played music.
MTV played music, and then who knew that Road Rules and Real World was going to ruin TV? Can you imagine? Oh. I remember when they started Road Rules and Real World.
Yeah, me too.
I watched MTV, and I never watched Road Rules and Real World because I could care less. I didn't care, but I liked the videos. Who knew that was going to take over MTV? You shouldn't even name it MTV anymore. Because it's not MTV anymore. It's reality TV. It's our TV now. Reality TV. That's it. It's got to be a hybrid. And you got to bring back MTV because you got to call that our TV. That's my you guys got
He's
me.
Passionate, yeah.
Yeah.
Got you fired up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. The videos were great.
They were great. The music videos. And when Britney Spears, like.
Yeah, Britney Spears. I mean, even before Britney Spears. I remember they had like MTV Jams in the early 90s when Bill Bellamy used to host. And then you had like the Guns N' Roses videos. I remember the late 80s, actually, when like Michael Jackson had the videos and George Michael. It's good stuff.
Fuck it.
Even my mom used to watch it with me.
Even in the early 2000s, the first time I saw Linkin Park, it was a music video. MTV.
They had a Total Request Live with Carson Daly.
Oh, yeah, TRL.
I was on a plane with Carson Daly recently.
Oh, wow.
He's the man. He was the man at that time. I remember it was right in Manhattan, too. I never went, though, of course, because it was all for two things New Yorkers didn't do. New Year's Eve ball drop was all tourists, and Total Request Live was all tourists, even though it was in. But I remember one time I walked by, I was in Times Square, and I saw the Total Request like crew over there. You know, it was like,
that's cool.
They used to always have it, but it was cool. I used to watch it though. Yeah. It was cool with the videos and stuff. They ruined MTV, butchered it, absolutely ruined it.
What are you most looking forward to start the new year for you?
Well, I'm working with another company soon. Pro Box Promotions is a promotional company in Florida, and they have a lot of new ideas I can't get into, a lot of new things that they're doing, and I'm excited about some of the ideas Pro Box has come up with, concepts in boxing. I think, you know, trying to do some new and different stuff. I think as the year goes on next year, you guys will see more and more of it from Pro Box, but I'm excited about starting up the venture with Pro Box next year. And of course, you know, continuing to work with BlueMoonFight.tv. I'm doing some work with Boxer in England if I were still able to travel there. You know, they have Conn and Brook in February, which is a major UK fight, even though it's a bit past their primes. But if I'm allowed to travel to the UK, I'll be working that fight too. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to staying busy if I can, you know, if the communists don't take over and shut us all down, you know. but that's my opinion of what's going on.
Will we see you back in the ring?
No, I don't think so. I, you know, if I could just somehow get myself in shape without having to train, maybe. But man, training camp's so hard. Pizza's hard to stay away from, yes. But even more so, just doing the hard work every day of training, it's hard on my body, man. It's like it's not easy to get through a training camp anymore. So I doubt it. I doubt it. I heavily doubt it.
Well, last thing for me, last time that we spoke, it was before the Canelo-Caleb Plant fight. Mm-hmm. So just want to get your thoughts on Canelo.
I thought he did a good job. I thought Caleb boxed in a savvy way, but I never thought he got out of like a second or third gear. And I thought he was a little bit too satisfied with just working on frustrating Canelo and not enough on raising his level to another point, you know? I think you're going to confuse any opponent with that savvy, you know, ring generalship that Caleb has. But then a world-class opponent like Canelo eventually is going to come a point where he's going to figure that out. So you're going to have to, you know, try to step up your game a little bit, at least in spots, just to be threatening more so than just be confusing. And I don't think Caleb ever thought about being threatening. He just kind of was satisfied and happy to, you know, confuse him, make the fight competitive, but never actually go for the gusto. And, you know, eventually Canelo figured it out and knocked him out. I think Caleb could have shown a little more. Gave a satisfactory performance, did well. But I think maybe it was the $10 million purse. I don't know. But he was too satisfied to not get hurt in the end, you know, and just, you know, fought well. Respectable performance. But I think Caleb could have given a little more as far as taking more chances. He didn't take enough chances for me at a certain point, because Canelo was always going to figure out the savvy stuff. So you would have had to show a couple of different gears in there, and Caleb never went to those gears.
Beginning of October, Kamaru Usman, welterweight champion, told me when we were in Denver, or told the schmo, that he wants to see pound for pound best between Canelo and himself. Realistically, how many rounds, what chance would you give Kamaru Usman in a boxing match with Canelo? How long would he last from what you've seen with his hands?
You know, listen, it's interesting. These kind of crossover fights, you know, they're interesting to say the least. People always talk about them. I don't give him any chance. Come on. I mean, I can't give him any chance. He's not in boxing, you know, and Usman's a terrific MMA fighter, but not in boxing. I can't.
Well, how quickly does Canelo put him away?
Well, that's the thing. Canelo has more of a killer instinct. Like, I felt like when it was Floyd and McGregor, Floyd was just kind of playing with him, you know, and Floyd doesn't have that killer instinct to get you out of there right away. Canelo kind of does, you know. Canelo will break you in half with a body shot, you know, if you don't know how to defend. So I you know, Usman will try. I think Usman has pride, and he's got a championship pedigree, but I don't think it would go 5-6 rounds. I think Canelo would. You know, and it would be a bad knockout too. I think because Canelo was very deceptive in the way he sets up those left hooks too. It would, and if you don't have that kind of experience and understanding that, it's one thing to see it on TV. It's another thing when you're seeing it in front of you. I don't think it would be a pretty end for Usman in that fight.
Well, we know you're jet lagged. Yeah. We appreciate you coming on the Schmo Zone.
I'm happy to finally get on the show with you guys as well.
Next time we do it, we'll do it longer though when you're not jet lagged.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you inspired us to put a coffee machine in our.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Espresso.
And next time I'll be groomed with my Manscaped as well.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, because David's so proud of his mustache, which you probably can't even see on camera.
You know what? I'm noticing it. Now that you say it, you know.
But I'm looking at yours, and then I look at his, and I'm like, Paulie.
Yeah, but he works his. You see. Well, that's mine. I just kind of, I'm too lazy.
I just feel like the schmo having a stash would add something extra to the character.
Can you please ask him to shave? He won't listen to me.
Well, the thing is, it's not, I consider a mustache only when there's no beard. If there's a beard, then it's just a beard, you know?
Yeah.
So you technically, you have a mustache, but it's with the beard. You have the beard here. For me to consider that a mustache, you'd have to be clean shaven here and then you have a mustache. I don't consider anybody with facial hair and also a mustache to have a mustache. Well, like to me, if somebody has a mustache, it's they shaved everything else and they left the stash or they cleaned up the stash.
He's stroking my pride because normally I'd have to shave every other week, but I shaved literally a day and a half ago and it's already grown in.
Yeah, that's part of being a grown man.
I'm becoming a man.
Yeah, that's what it is. So if you shave all this and you left the mustache, then I'd say, okay, Schmo has a mustache going. And it'd be more noticeable, too. I hadn't even noticed it because
I didn't notice it.
No, because he's got hair underneath his chin, so I didn't notice it. If you're clean shaven, though, now the eyes go right to the mustache. I can tell when somebody has a mustache. When they're clean shaven, and boom, mustache. But you're not clean shaven. You got some coming out of your off your chin. You know, you got a beard. So I wouldn't have noticed a mustache. If you clean shave, you'll be a mustache guy. But right now you're a beard guy.
When we get home later today, I'm gonna shave.
You're gonna use your Manscaped.
Yeah. I'm gonna Manscaped.
Or should he just dye it?
I mean, now we're getting really creative. But that's a lot of work. Again, this is what I don't want to get into. You know, like I will not get into all this. You know, like. But I do feel like I could probably trim a little better. But I'm never gonna be the guy to like color it and shave. I actually worry about what happens when I go more gray. Like it's gonna be a problem. I don't want to do all that work. I can't do that work.
Every time we see you, you're looking younger and younger.
I know.
That's why I didn't She had to point you out today. I didn't even recognize.
Unfortunately, getting older and older, guys. I just turned 41, man. It's crazy.
You don't look a day older than 35.
Now look at day over 40. I don't know.
Genetics?
Yeah, probably genetics.
Your skin's smooth. Yeah.
Sicilian.
And I've been cut. If my eyes would just have less scars, maybe I'd look even better. But you know what? The problem I'm starting to notice is all the stitches that I had. Now it's like, as I get older, kind of like that skin is starting to look like a little bit beat up over my eyes.
Well, you were blessed with the goat with bare knuckles, so.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he added more stitches to the already tons of stitches I had.
But you didn't look like Jason Knight after the fight.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get hit, really. I still, people I know MMA fans can't really come to full grips and comprehend that. But bare knuckle, the thing is, when shots graze you, skin rips open worse.
You didn't get the Magic Man nickname from nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I somehow managed to barely get hit and still wind up that kind of cut, huh? Now that's magic.
Paulie Malignaggi, everybody. Episode 86 of the Schmo Zone podcast. We are out.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.